the Dubliner who arranged Kim and Kanye's Irish holiday is going to be in studio with us. Siobhan is with us right now. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
It's quite warm in here, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. But you'll be okay, won't you? You're not wearing a coat or anything.
No. I'll strip off need be.
I was trying to organise air conditioning, but I think it's just one of those days. It's not going to happen. Tell us the name of your company.
The name of the company is Adams & Butler.
Yeah.
We work a lot with Americans, with South Americans. So when the company was set up, we were looking for a name that the Americans could spell. Adams has no, you know, S's and Z's or O's. Yeah. And so it works out very well.
It does have that sort of quite posh name. It does. Sense of Adams & Butler, you know.
And Butler has a connotation of service.
Yeah.
And then Butler's Irish would have paved the way, you know, in the duty-free shops, the airports abroad.
Of course,
so people, you know, recognise that name as well.
So what do you do?
Well, basically, our clients are one of two types. They're either people who are extremely wealthy,
mm-hmm.
or they're people who might necessarily have a huge amount of money, but they want something different.
Right.
And they don't feel that if they look for it themselves, they'll find it on an internet. They feel they need to go to someone who is in the know.
Right.
So that's where we come in.
Okay. Now, the reason that we spotted your company was because you were involved in the Kimye, as they say now, the Kimye honeymoon.
I know, that seems such a long time ago, but yes.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Well, you've probably, that portfolio, that brochure's probably gone away now and you've moved on. How did they contact you?
Well, that was through an agent on the West Coast who made contact with us one evening.
Yeah.
And then Tanya in the office got the phone call and I was at another event and she called me back and then we put it together.
Yeah. So what do you have to do then? Do you have to put a sort of a schedule together for them saying, look, I think this is what you'd like, or do they tell you what they want to see?
It can be one of both.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Either you've got a blank page and you do everything from scratch, or they might give you an idea and in that case they wanted a castle and they wanted privacy, so they didn't want a lot of staff, so then we gave them the options. But that was very last minute, so there was only a few properties that were available, so you know, you check availability, you give them the option, that they come back and
I
then
love it. They
it's
just
like
say,
Lego.
I want a castle.
I want a castle.
I want 25 turrets on the castle, and I want flags. I must have flags.
Well,
would you get that?
Yeah,
oh, does it?
That does happen. Often we've had to put up a family crest on the castle with Americans.
Because they want it.
They love that.
It's what they see about it. But you deal with everybody. I mean, I was reading you were dealing with people from Guatemala, and they were quite upset coming over, were they?
No, they loved it.
Oh, they loved it, yeah, did they?
They absolutely loved it. Our second biggest market is Brazil.
Yeah.
Our third biggest is Mexico, and fourth biggest will be Argentina.
Wow.
And then after that, you've got Guatemala, Colombia, Peru, Chile. Basically, when they come over to Ireland, they sometimes don't know. They sort of don't have any expectations.
Right, okay.
And they arrive and they always make the comment that they love the Irish people. They love our warmth. They feel we're very tactile. We're very open. And in fact, they consider us quite Latin. And then they're always blown away by the scenery and then the wonderful food.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's, I mean, it's interesting to see because, we looked at the World Cup the last 4 weeks or so, and I'm seeing these amazing pictures of Copacabana Beach and quite a lot of bikinis. And that's just, I'm thinking, wow, why would you want to leave that country? But it's, I suppose you get so used to it. That's your country, so
you're
so used to it.
And no one ever asks us about beaches or anything like that.
Never.
Yeah. In fact, they even complain if it doesn't rain when they're here.
So they're over to see the Emerald Isle and all the green and that. Yeah.
And to meet the people.
And is it, I mean, do we have a lot of places for these people? You're talking about the castles with the turrets and the flags. Do we have a lot of them in Ireland?
We do. Like there's some people who want to stay in a castle hotel and others would want to stay sort of in a hidden away country house or in a castle that you can rent. Mm. And there's tons of them just dotted around the place. And a lot of people now, they want to keep, say, a castle in their family,
right.
You know, if they're members of the aristocracy. So they're open to people coming to their houses. And what they love about us is that we don't just get someone picking up the phone and ringing us.
Yeah.
It's usually someone who goes to a travel agent abroad, and that's a filtering process number one. Then they come to us, filtering process number two. Yeah. So by the time the person goes to stay in the castle, it's the right person.
Now, I know you were saying the least boring of an awful lot of these people are the celebrities, but yet I'm interested in some of the celebrities. Like Taylor Swift was over recently, was she?
Taylor Swift was one of my favourites because we got a phone call on a Saturday morning, and the person on the phone said that she was Taylor Swift's mother, and I didn't believe her. And I said,
is there
nothing.
A lot of that with you? Do you go, get off, I don't believe
we
you.
We do, because sometimes we have to be quite cool and collected when we take a phone call, and then we just put them on hold and say, you're not going to believe who's on the phone. Like one time we had one of the girls in the office had Harrison Ford on the phone.
Oh, wow.
And she was taking something, charging to his credit card, and she had to put the phone on hold and compose herself and go back and then do it. So
Harrison Ford. Okay, back, be professional now. Yeah. Well, And Taylor Swift, what did she want to do?
She was quite calm, cool and collected. What they wanted was to have a party when she finished her European tour, and they wanted a castle in Dublin. And at the time, the only real castle in Dublin was Luttrell's Town, but it was closed. So we rang them up, and they were going to put us into the golf house, and we said, no, not the golf house. So they opened up the castle for us. They really, really enjoyed it.
That was, how long ago was that?
That was about 2 years ago, I think.
Okay, because you wouldn't want Taylor Swift in town at the same time as Kanye West.
No, there's a bit of history there.
Just a little bit of history, and you're in the middle of it going, lads, please, leave it out. Yeah. Michael Jackson as well?
Michael Jackson was particularly lovely from an Irish point of view, because we had him here for 3 months, and he was never hounded by
the press.
People
didn't know.
Well, people knew, and there was an article.
He was up around Grouse Lodge, wasn't he?
No, he was up in Lugala first,
which
is one of the Guinness properties. Yeah. Side locked down, and he loved it there. He, you know, was having a great time until the international press came. Ah. So the Irish press didn't hound him, you know, every so often write a story, left him in peace, you know, respected him.
And
then the international press came for the Ryder Cup.
But we saw little stories that, you know, in Portlaoise or somewhere like that, that they closed the cinema down for him. And then I think a bookstore closed down for him and stuff. That was so for the evening.
And because he went to Grouse Lodge then after that for 3 months. And I think he might even have been there longer.
Yeah.
But he enjoyed it so much. And he asked us to look for a property for him. He wanted to buy a Neverland ranch and have it in Ireland. But unfortunately, that was the time of the Celtic Tiger, so it wasn't within the range.
Oh, gosh. And it was the international press that started hounding him.
The international press. The Irish press left him in peace.
So did you get to meet? I mean, did you meet Michael?
Michael Jackson, I did, because we got a phone call one morning and it was, get us out of here.
Right.
The international press were camped.
Get me out of here, I'm a celebrity.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I drove down and they basically jumped into my car and I drove them around looking for properties.
So you had Michael Jackson and family in the back of the car?
In the back of the car. Well, not the family. I had him and the nanny.
Right, okay.
And he was very, cool about the whole thing. Very polite, very, you know, gentle, very gracious. But I had to address him as the principal or the client.
Okay.
So you talked about him in the third party.
Wow. Obviously, you can talk about celebrities now, but you after they've gone.
Yes.
But you cannot really tell us about who's coming up.
We wouldn't talk about, like, with regard to if we have celebrities, we wouldn't talk about what they actually did.
Right.
But, you know, there isn't a problem about us saying that we did them.
Somebody texted in, because this was going around, and it was one of the reasons we rang as well. The Kimmy, can you, everyone say they didn't pay their bill? I'm presuming they paid their bill.
They did.
I
don't understand fully how that got into the press, because it was actually us who paid all the suppliers. So the property were paid by us.
So we can absolutely say now.
Yeah,
there's a very interesting, another part of your life that's really, really interesting, which involves mud huts.
I know.
I'm going to play some music. Will you hang on with us about that?
Yeah,
it's really interesting. All right, it's 23 after 5. I'm still here with Siobhan from Adams and Butler. Siobhan Larratt Byrne, now, as we were talking, you've had Michael Jackson in the back of the car. The Kimye and Kanye have been over. Harrison Ford has been here. And you travel around a lot. And you've a connection with Kenya.
Yes.
This is really interesting. Go and tell me.
Yeah, no. I was divorced, I think, back in 2004. And then 3 years later, I was in Kenya.
Yeah.
And I was with clients and we were there on a safari. So I was bringing them from property to property. So when I was leaving one property, I was collected by the manager of another property.
Mm.
And it was a really, really nice guy, a Kenyan guy who was part of the Samburu tribe, so Bushman. And the Samburu are cousins of the Maasai up in the north of Kenya.
Right.
So the reason I was very taken with them was because one of the other ladies and myself wanted to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And the problem is, in the bush, the ground is very hard. So if you're going to the bathroom, you can hear a little sound. So what he was doing was he was pouring the Cokes and the 7-Ups to hide the sound of us going to the
bathroom. What a gentleman.
He was very cute. And then he was also a warden in the Kenyan Wildlife Service.
Yeah.
So an elephant had injured a person and he was called out to supervise, the elephant.
Mm.
So that night I didn't get to talk to him much, but the next day we went out and we got on very well. And
so you went out on a date, like?
Well, we didn't.
In the bush?
No, not on the bush. We went out in the Jeep with four other clients.
All right.
And then there was just a spark between the both of us. So he was driving me to the airstrip and he had put the luggage in the car. So the owner of the camp asked me for my business card. I ran out to the car.
Yeah.
My bag was in the back, went back to the owner, gave him my card. But when I went to get back into the car, my bag had all of a sudden moved to the front seat.
Uh-huh.
So he had rearranged the bags right beside him. And then when we were driving to the airstrip, he asked me for my contact details. And I said, well, I don't have any paper. And then the four people behind pushed paper to the front. And then I said, I don't have a pen. Yeah. And the four people behind pushed
pens,
a pen.
So paper.
One of the guys I was travelling with us was from Denmark. And the others were from South Africa and England.
Yeah.
And we were there. And the Danish guy was a bit dense. And he sort of didn't get it. So he was hanging around the two of us. And the South African guy rang the Danish guy on his mobile and said, for God's sake, will you leave
them
alone?
Give him space, will you?
Yes. So then we had, he gave me a little peck in the cheek.
Ah.
And then he texted me to say that he liked me. Would I stay in contact with them?
Right.
And then I would, because of my work, I would travel sort of through Dubai. So I'd always pop down for a weekend.
Right.
Going through Dubai. So,
you go to Dubai and just pop down to Kenya for a weekend. There you go.
Down the road. It's only two, four flights, something down the road. So pop down, see him. Yeah.
And when did you get married?
We got married in 2010. So, yeah, he would live in the, his family would live in the bush as such. So they lived literally in a hut. No one in the family went to school. The women and the children would never have seen money. The men might see money if they sold an animal in a market or something.
So is it like, as we would see, a traditional village of mud huts?
Well, you'd have a
fire in the centre and that sort of stuff.
You wouldn't have a fire in the centre. You'd actually have a fire in the hut.
Okay.
And there'd be a hole in the roof. And then lots of goats and camels and sheep milling around.
And is it comfortable?
Well, it's not comfortable, but it's a lovely way of living because it's very real, it's very authentic, and people are very friendly even though they have they've nothing.
Right,
like they wouldn't even earn $5 a month.
Wow.
But they're really, really happy. His family are lovely. I get on well with them and you just feel so relaxed and peaceful, and they have a wonderful sense of humour. So they're very much like the Irish in that
sense. I presume there's no telly.
There's no telly. There's no electricity. There's no water. The nearest water would be 20 miles away.
But mobile phones?
They, funny enough, they all have a mobile phone.
Yeah, I've noticed that before.
Now, they can't read or write, so I don't know how they manage to get messages.
Text, but they do have mobile phones.
The men would have a mobile phone.
So how often have you slept in a mud hut?
It's
the first time I've ever asked that question on radio.
I would.
It's like a great chat-up line,
I'd
isn't
sleep
it?
A few times a year in a mud hut. But it's not. It's very uncomfortable on the eyes because the smoke in the eyes is very, very tough.
What about the spidery things?
It doesn't bother me at this stage.
At all? Are you used to
I was them? Terrified at the beginning, but not worried. Yeah. Walking through rivers that might have snakes bothers me. Or I've slept in a scorpion on two occasions.
Oh, lovely.
Under
the
mattress,
And when himself goes back home now, does he go back into the tribal
To be honest, he never really dresses like that. He's the only bushman I know that sort of didn't dress like that. So he would wear sort of safari clothes.
Okay.
And he would visit his mother and he'd either sleep in her hut or in the car.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to build a house there. And then he now would go over there to work. He'd look after clients during the summer and then come back to Ireland when he's not working over there.
So you're going to have a holiday home beside his ma's mud hut.
Exactly. It's on the ridge of a mountain overlooking the Great Rift Valley. So it's beautiful.
So how close is the nearest town, like if you wanted to get provisions?
The nearest shop, the nearest supermarket would be about a 6-hour drive.
A 6-hour drive?
Yeah.
So if you come all the way back and you've forgotten the milk...
I know, never mind, get your nails done, the hair, the waxing, or anything like that.
You got to get everything done. Yeah. Quite an amazing story. Yeah. And between you, how many kids?
I have four boys.
Yeah.
And then he has two sons and he's adopted one.
Okay.
And his eldest son, who's 11 now, is coming to live with us in Ireland because he's in boarding school at the moment in Kenya. Mm. So then when the other guy finishes primary school, he'll come over as well.
So it is the Kenyan Brady Bunch, really.
It is the Kenyan Brady Bunch, yeah.
It's quite amazing, isn't it, really? But then love knows no barriers.
Exactly. And I think when you meet someone and you gel with them, it's very hard to find true love. So I think if you find it, you grasp it with two hands.
Well, you certainly have. Well done. Mm. And Adams and Butler still. So you must be very busy between taking care of the seven kids, keeping my in-law happy in a mud hut and flying around the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a bit of time to come in to talk to us. Adams and Butler is the company, and it's basically for the stars, really, and the rich and famous.
Yeah.
Good talking to you, Siobhan. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care of yourself.
Thank you.
We'll take a break here.